The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of the disciples' preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guest. And the king said to the girl, ask me for what you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guest, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and children may come forward for the children.
All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Could you do me a favor? Can you be my line leader today? Stand right in front of me. Everyone behind one of the twins. Which one do I have up here? Abigail, thank you. One day I'm going to put a mark on your forehead so I can just know the difference between you and your sister. All right, all right, all right, all right. So I'm going to turn around, and in a minute we're going to rev up, move your arms. Move your arms like this. I'm sorry, Mr. Gilbert, for all the sound effects. All right, now we're a little train, so move your feet like this. Stomp, stomp, stomp. All right, what do trains do before they take off? What's this big sound that they make? Choo, choo. You ready? So come on, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. We're trained, we're trained, we're trained. We're trained, we're trained, we're trained. Do you know what this week is all about? Do you know all the fun that we're going to have this week? We're having a little thing. Uh-oh, our train ride's about to end. If you could come and sit down right here, please. Thank you. So this week, it's a wonderful week. It is Vacation Bible School. And you will see all about Jesus. But before we begin this week, I want to show you something really cool. Okay, so audience and everybody listening in on the radio, I have a white paper and on it is a black cross. In the middle of that black cross is a white little dot. The way this works, kids, you focus on the white dot for 15 seconds and then after the 15 seconds, I want you to look up at the roof, at the white face, and blink your eyes as fast as you can. Are you ready? Okay, so look at the white dot. I'm gonna count to 15. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, practically, 6, 5, 4, we're almost done, 2, 1, look at the roof and blink as fast as you can. Did you see the cross? saw the cross? No? Were we staring at the white dot? Okay, that's there. That's fine. What I just did was an optical illusion. What Tina did this week, Miss Tina, is not an optical illusion. It is, in fact, a reality. And tomorrow, the reality begins as we board on our holy train to figure out the holy gospel and find Jesus Christ. You will have game time, snack time, arts and crafts time, science time, story time, a wonderful opening, a wonderful closing. And I think there's always something big that happens on a Friday. I do not know. So, are you all registered to VBS? Are you all ready for VBS? Okay. Today, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. So, anytime I point back to you, I just want you to say out loud, Jesus loves me. We're going to practice real quick, okay? So, I'd be talking. Okay, can we sound a little bit more excited? Get a little bit more? There we go. Thank you. All right. So I'm talking some more. When you are in trouble?
Jesus loves me.
When you feel lonely?
Jesus loves me.
Okay, let's see.
Jesus loves me.
All right. One more time.
Jesus loves me.
Thank you so much for coming to church today. I hope to see you all this week.
Jesus loves me.
Almost got you on that one. All right, Jesus loves you. You will learn more about Jesus and what he does for you this week. You can return back to your parents and seat. Pastor Tim.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson today... The story starts out with people asking a question. Who is this Jesus? Jesus is still in the fairly early stages of his ministry. He is going around the countryside in the northern part of Israel around the Sea of Galilee. He's starting to attract crowds. Rumors and stories are starting to get out of how he can heal people and cast out demons. And he talks to the outcast, and he preaches, and he teaches about the word of God, and proclaims that the kingdom of God is coming. Word is starting to spread, and people are starting to pass around rumors of, who is this Jesus? Who is he? Where did he come from? And so some of the answers coming back, some people would say, he is Elijah. And if you remember your stories of Elijah did not die, but rather was taken up into heaven. And it was believed that Elijah was supposed to appear before the Messiah returned, that he was a precursor to the Messiah who was coming. And so some people thought that Jesus was Elijah who had returned to earth. Other people were saying, no, he's a prophet, like God sent the prophets of the Old Testament to the people. That he is sent from God and he is just another one of those prophets in that line. But then there were others. King Herod in particular. King Herod was convinced that this was John the Baptist whom he had beheaded. There are some thoughts or some of the other religions in the area believed that when somebody was killed violently, their spirit became very strong and they would be able to reappear once again. King Herod was haunted by John the Baptist. And then the rest of our gospel story, we get into that story of the beheading of John. There's few things you need to know about what's going on behind this story and some of the politics and behind the scenes, some background of what's happening here in this time period. Again, Rome has conquered all these lands, but when Rome would conquer the lands, he would give a lot of leeway to the local authorities. As long as people paid their taxes to Rome, and as long as there was no insurrection starting up against Rome, Rome was happy just to let people rule themselves, follow their own customs, and for the most part, follow their own religions as well then too. Rome didn't want to get all involved in the nitty-gritty of what was going on. Even though Rome was very ruthless if you did not pay your taxes or if an insurrection sounded like it was going to start. And so Herod, and that's from a dynasty. Herod is actually the family name. It's the name of the dynasty that's taking place. This Herod that we're talking about here in our gospel lesson today is Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was the son of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the king when Jesus was born. Remember the story of the wise men going to King Herod and saying, "Where is this Christ child that's born? We want to go worship him." And Herod became very jealous. Herod the Great was a very ruthless person. And as you remember that story, when Jesus was born and the wise men did not go back and report to King Herod, King Herod sent his soldiers into Bethlehem to kill all the firstborn male children up to the age of 2 years old, willing to do anything, any kind of evil, just so he could retain power. Well, when King Herod died, his kingdom was split up into, I think, at least four different sections to his different sons. And Herod was married several different times, so a lot of different stepsons gained power in that. Herod Antipas, the one that we're talking about today, was one of those that received property or part of that kingdom. And his part of the kingdom was there in that Galilee region where Jesus was teaching and preaching and traveling around in his ministry. And that's also then, too, in the area of John the Baptist. He was that covered part of that area as well then, too. Okay, so Antipas, Herod Antipas, is the son of Herod the Great. His mother was a Samaritan. And so that kind of gave Herod Antipas a kind of mixed blood, so to speak. And he was a Jew, but at the same time, he did not practice his religion. He would go down to the festivals in Jerusalem, and there, too, we find him in another Bible story when Jesus was crucified, that Jesus was brought before Herod because Jesus came from that region where he was. Well, Herod was down there for the festival time as well then, too. But Herod's first wife was an Arabian princess. But Herod had ambitions. And let's go over to Herodias now. Herod marries Herodias. Herodias is his stepbrother's wife, Philip. Philip is married to Herodias, and that's a stepbrother then to Herod Antipas. Herodias is also a daughter to another stepbrother, Aristobulus. All right? So you have Herodias. The relationship then to Herod Antipas is as a, see if I get this right, a half-sister-in-law and also a half-niece, and now becomes his wife. All right? When Herod divorced or sent off his first wife, that ticked off her father, an Arabian prince, which started a war and pretty well devastated Herod's army. So Herod is without power, but he still wants ambition. Herodias also has very much ambition. She too wants to see Herod gain all this power, and so they join alliance with one another. And then in pops John the Baptist, who starts to preach and to teach. And as you know, John the Baptist doesn't mince any words, and I'm sure he had a lot to say about this incestuous relationship going on, which very much ticked off Herodias. John the Baptist might have even had some choice words that he called her. And so Herod arrests John. But Herod becomes fascinated with John the Baptist. He listens to John the Baptist. John the Baptist has a lot to say. And Herod is just fascinated with what he has to say. Herod is perplexed because he knows that John is a righteous person, but at the same time, John is hounding at him for all the unrighteous deeds that Herod has done. And Herodias wants his head. She is ticked off at John the Baptist. But she can't get to him because Herod is protecting John the Baptist. Okay, and so along comes the time when it's Herod's birthday, and he throws a big party, and all the dignitaries are there from that region. And the daughter of Herodias, her name is Salome. All right, we've got to talk about Salome just a little bit. Here in Mark, it calls her Herodias, but again, that's a family name. She has the name of Herod as well then too, or Herodias. So Salome is the daughter of Herodias, the one who married Herod. All right? So the relationship then to King Herod for Salome is as a stepdaughter, as a stepniece, and as a great stepniece. And Herod becomes infatuated with her, even to the point where he says, I will give you anything you want, up to half of my kingdom. She goes running to her mother, and she says, Mom, what should I ask for? And Mom takes advantage of that point and says, ask for the head of John the Baptist. Well, Herod can't disappoint his guest. He can't look weak in front of his guest. And so he has has John the Baptist beheaded. There is no good that can come out of evil. There's no good that can come out of evil. And as we read through this lesson today, we can ask the question. It started out with the question, who is Jesus? But in this story, we can ask, where is Jesus? Jesus is not mentioned anywhere in this story other than to ask the question, who is Jesus? There's nothing about Jesus here in this story. When I got through reading this lesson this morning, it was hard to say, the gospel of the Lord, the good news of the Lord. Where's the good news in this story? This story of incest, this story of adultery, this story of murder, the story of lying. Where is the good news in there? It's not particularly here in this story, but that background is there. It still points to Jesus. Because that question is asked, who is this Jesus? And we think in our own lives of the evil that happens around us. I mean, you look at all the things that are going on. You watch the news stories, whether it's politics or stories of kidnapping, stories of murder, stories of shooting, stories of ruthless leaders in the world, and of people being driven out of their homes. There is no good that comes out of evil. But yet, at the same time, evil is not going to stop God. As you look at that crucifixion and resurrection story, it's pure evil through all that. With the torture, with the arrest, with the kangaroo court, with the false accusations, with the beatings, and with the murder, the execution of Jesus himself. No good comes out of evil, but God is still able to work his good in spite of the evil. With Christ, Jesus was raised from the dead. He came to new life. He bought our salvation for us. Here in this story then too, that story of Jesus continues on. But this story also bothered Jesus as well. If you read on in Mark, the story that follows this is the disciples come back. Jesus had sent his disciples out two by two to do ministry. And I'm sure the disciples were excited about all the things that took place. The healings that were able to take place in Jesus' name. And the people that believed that the kingdom of God was at hand. I'm sure they had a lot to talk about with Jesus. Jesus, too, needed time, quiet time, because he had been busy as well then too, ministering to all the people. He needed quiet time. He needed time alone with the disciples to debrief them, but then he also needed time to grieve the loss of John the Baptist, who was his forerunner and was also his own cousin, a relative. The story that follows then is the story of Jesus getting into a boat and going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to a desolate place. But people saw him going there, and the crowds just went where he landed, and he saw huge masses of crowd. Jesus didn't get his quiet place. He had compassion on the people. He ministered to them all day. That was the story, a feeding of the 5,000. Finally, at the end of that day, he gets that time for some peace. Some peace to grieve the loss. We find ourselves in the midst of trouble. We find ourselves in the midst of evil. We may not see God. We may not think that God is even present, but God is still right beside us. He is still there in all the things that trouble us in this life. He is still there to lead us, to guide us, and to bring us his hope. That no matter what comes in our lives, Christ is still there. His arms are wide open to us. God's love fills us so that we can be satisfied, we can be made full, and we can be assured of everlasting life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.